does it seem too good to be true, that God's only Son lived and died just for you? Is it hard to believe that His love's really there? In spite of your sin, He continues to care.
I don't know
what a sinner you are, but I know what a Savior He is. Of Calvary's hill. I don't know what kind of words you spoke, and His words were, "Father, forgive." I don't know what a sinner you are, but I know what a Savior He is. Just whisper His name and you'll find that He's there.
I don't know
what a sinner you are, but I know what a Savior He is.
I don't know
where your feet have taken you, but it's climbed up Calvary's hill. Father, forgive. I don't know what a sinner you are, but I know what a Savior He is. What we are is not what matters, but what He is to us. Who we are is not important, but who we choose to trust. I don't know what a sinner you are, but I know what a Savior He is. I don't know where your feet have taken you, but His climbed up Calvary's hill. I don't know what kind of words you spoke, and His words were, "Father, forgive." I don't know what a sinner you are, but I know.
All right, wonderful. Thank you, ladies. You know, I think each of us could identify a little bit with the song, because I think each of us know ourselves well enough to know that where we came from and where the Lord saved us and what He saved us out of and where He brought us from. And it's an exciting thing to know the Lord and to know the Christian life. And again, fathers, on this special Father's Day, I want to talk mainly and speak mainly to dads this morning. If I could, I want you to take your Bible and go to Matthew chapter number 1. I want us to take a look at what may have been the most difficult job of fathering in the Scriptures. I want to read to you just a few passages about the earthly father of Jesus Christ. His name was Joseph. Probably one of the most difficult jobs in the entire world. Can you imagine being the earthly father of the Lord Jesus Christ? And yet Jesus was a baby. He grew into a boy, to a teenager. Now we know he didn't sin, but God put Joseph in a very, very important place of authority. And I believe Jesus submitted himself to that authority. Matthew chapter 1, would you let's stand together, beginning in verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child, and this is important, of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now these passages of Scripture are very important, and we'll get to them, and I'll make reference back to them periodically throughout the message. But you know, as I begin to think about being a father and about fathers in the Bible, my mind kept going back to this particular father, his particular responsibilities, and probably one of the most difficult jobs of fathering in all the Bible, Joseph, it was laid upon his shoulder to be the earthly father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This past week, I spent a whole week with our teenagers at camp. Our theme of the camp was, Is It In You? I had a totally different title for this message, and as I began to pray and meditate yesterday over this message, I scratched out the title I had because I didn't like it, because this title, our theme of our camp, kept sticking in my head. So I'm just going to ask you today, fathers, is it in you? Is it in you? And I want you to think about that as we go through the message. Father, would you bless our time together this morning? And we do pray that you'd meet with us in this service. I pray, Lord God, that you'd open our hearts and spirit as, Lord, I try to bring this message today that I believe I, and at least I prayed, Lord, would be an eye-opener for many of our fathers here today. And would you do your work now in our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. I think it's important that I mention, before I get too far in the message, some introductory things that I think are important for all of us to know. And I want to first of all say to you, church, this morning that America is in a severe decline today in the home because of the absence of fathers. I realize that there's no manual that's available that can transform you into being the perfect father. I know that. There is no seminar that you can attend and come home and be the model dad. There's no award that you can receive that's going to make you the father that you need to be. And may I say, I possess the title of father, but I want you to listen to me. I have to earn the right to be daddy. Amen. You see, just because you're a father today don't mean you're a daddy. You see, a daddy encompasses other things than just fathering a child. You see, I mentioned that America's homes are in decline. They're in decline financially, socially, educationally, spiritually, because of the absence of daddies in the home. By the way, may I say to you, some homes have a man in the home, but he's not a father. He's not a daddy. He's a figure in the home. Yeah, you may pay the bills, but are you a daddy? You see, one of the busiest businesses today in our country are those businesses that are being paid, listen to me, large sums of money to locate the biological father of adult children who have no closure on who their father is. It's a big business today. You see, these adult children have always had a sense of curiosity. They've always had a longing to meet their biological father. Some have been successful. Some have not been. Some have wished that they would not have pursued it at all once they learned who their father was and what he was involved in. But I want to say to you this morning that a nation is only as strong as its men, and may I say that a home is only as secure as its fathers. This means that America has become weak as a nation because its men have accepted weakness. Our homes today, listen to me, are reeking with insecurity because they're empty of fathers. Let me read you some startling statistics. It is said that homes without a father, the children are twice as likely to be incarcerated. 63% of the youth who commit suicide are from fatherless homes. 85% have some type of behavioral disorders. 71% of all high school dropouts came from a home with no father. 60% of all professing homosexuals came from a home with no father. 75% of young teenage girls who get pregnant came from a home with no father. 3 out of 5 kids in America today do not live with their biological father or do not know who their father is. That's the condition America is in. And listen to me, when you go check out other countries, it's even worse. It's even worse. I want to say to you today, daddies, fathers, there's a lot of pressure placed on fathers today. I realize that. I realize that there's a lot of stress on the job. I understand that. I realize that there's a lot of responsibility that you carry on your shoulders to pay the bills and keep food on the table. I understand that. There's a heavy load, fathers, on your shoulders of caring for your children. Make sure they get an education. I understand that. You see, there's the feat of juggling everyone's schedule to kind of keep peace and sanity in the home. I understand all of that. And may I say, daddies, I also understand that there's the feeling sometimes that you're not appreciated for everything that you do in the home. But I want you to listen to me and listen to me well. Fathers, the answer is not to run from your circumstances. The answer is not to take off and leave your home and leave your family, but rather lead your family through the circumstances, not run from them. Got a bunch of cowards today that first little situation that comes up in their home, the daddy takes off, leaves mama with the kids, won't even play child support. Amen. I'm just going to get right down where the rubber meets the road today. Is that all right? That's the reason we're in the problem, having the problems that we're in today. And you listen to me. I'm a father. I'll take some of the blame, but bless God, we all need to take some of the blame. And we point fingers today and say, well, look at them kids. Them rebels, they may be because of us. Because we didn't stick around when the going got tough. We took off. You say, preacher, are you riding daddies today and riding fathers today? No, I'm just riding a simple situation. I just want to ask you, fathers, this morning, is it in you? Is it in you? God equipped you to be the head of your home. God equipped you with a certain ability to take on more pressure than mama. I want to say to you this morning, fathers, is it in you? There's several things that I want to draw and make points this morning because, first of all, before I get into them, may I say to you and go back to our text today, how much pressure do you think was on Joseph? How much stress do you think was on Joseph? How much responsibility do you think weighed heavy on his shoulders to know that that baby that laid in that manger was the Son of God and he was given the responsibility to be his earthly father? Nobody in here has that much pressure on you. Nobody in here has that much responsibility. May I say to you today, daddies, that you are God's family enforcer. God puts you in the home to enforce the things that are laid down of what a family's supposed to be. And if you're not there, many times these things are absent. They're absent. I just want to ask you, daddies, is it in you? You say, what's it? Well, in several cases here, I'm going to draw some things and I'm going to tell you what it is. First of all, may I say, daddies, the it here is, do you have the character to lead? Do you have the character to lead? I'm going to give you a couple of examples. First of all, remember a man in the scriptures in Genesis chapter 13 by the name of Lot? Lot decided he would choose the well-watered plains. And when you go and read the scriptures in Genesis chapter 13, 10, 11, and 12, when he chose the well-watered plains, the Bible said he set his face, he set his tent towards Sodom. You see, the thing about it today, Lot had no character to lead. You say, well, yeah, he did. He led his family to settle. Yeah, but he led them to settle in Sodom, a town, a city of wickedness. They said he lost all of his family except two daughters. He committed incest with them. I'm here to tell you today, you know why Lot's family disintegrated around him? Because he didn't have the character to lead. And may I say, do you know why that families are being destroyed and disintegrating and dissolving today? Because we got fathers that don't have the character to lead. Amen. I'll amen myself. Say, preacher, man, this is tough on fathers. I thought you were going to tickle our ear. Hey, folks, that's our problem. We've had our ears tickled too much, and that's the reason we're in the condition that we're in. Listen to me, we're weak. We're weak. I'm just saying, is it in you? Do you have the character to lead? Abraham did. When you go read in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19, you'll find that God said, I know him, that he'll command his children, that he'll lead his home, that he will teach them the ways of God. Here is a man that did have the character to lead. It was in him to lead his family. I'm just going to ask you this morning, Daddy. Fathers, do you have the character to lead? Do you have the character to assume your God-ordained position? You see, the reason most daddies today are splitting the scene is because the position of being the father and the head of the home is too much for them. I've never understood why a man could be an executive of a company and handle all the stress, but can't even handle the stress of his own home. He can make $1 million as a CEO, but won't give his kids $5 so they can go down and play putt-putt. Amen. Hey, that's like we're in the condition. Why? Because we got too many fathers that don't have the character to lead. So you know what has to happen? We got a country now that's being women-led. Not because they want to, but because they have to. They're being forced because daddy, fathers in the home won't take the lead. No character. Got daddies that are more interested in sitting on the tailgate of their pickup drinking booze than spending time with their own children. Just saying, hey, is it in you? Do you got the character to lead and assume your God-ordained position? May I say to you, daddies, fathers this morning, do you have the character to accept your God-given responsibilities? Hey, yeah, there's a lot of responsibilities in being a father. I understand that. I've had five children. I have raised five children. I understand the pressures that fatherhood brings. But may I say to you, fathers, that God did equip you with all the tools to accomplish the purpose. He equipped you to do it. You see, the weakness is we trust in ourselves to do it more than we trust in God to do it through us. Daddy, do you have character not only to assume your God-ordained position and accept your God-given responsibility, but do you have the character, listen to me now, to apply Bible-based methods of child rearing? Amen. Let me tell you something. I've told you this before. My parents weren't saved till later on in life. They didn't have a church like this to teach them how to raise kids. Hey, my parents, there wasn't no such thing as time out. I wish there was. But there wasn't no such thing as time out. Hey, my parents didn't even believe in grounding. Wasn't no such thing. You say, well, then how were you disciplined? Hey, again, my parents weren't raised biblical child rearing. They knew, but you know what? They knew how to discipline. And by the way, all that spanking and all the discipline that I've got, you say, oh, preacher, it's going to warp those kids. Ask some of the people around here that were raised 25 and 30 years ago as a kid, and ask them if it warped their personality. Hey, I'm telling you, Dad, you know what I'm going to do when I get on the phone today with my dad? I'm going to say, Dad, thank you for all the whippings. Thank you for not grounding me or having... Listen, let me tell you something. I was a rebellious child. I was a strong-willed child. You know what? If they'd have given my parents would have given me time out or taken my toys away, I'd have said, man, this is too easy. Because the thing about it, listen, my attitude was, listen, as a kid, I was so rotten to the core and stuff, if they'd have taken my toys, I'd just gone taking my brother's. He wouldn't have had any toys. No, they didn't. Let me tell you something today. My dad wasn't even a Christian. He was applying Bible-based methods of child rearing and didn't even know it. I'm just here to tell you, if you don't know what they are, then you know what you need to do, Daddy? You need to seek counsel from your pastor or from some godly Christian that's raised kids and knows what Bible child rearing is. Listen to me. It's the only thing that produces results. So I don't think I'm going to go that way, preacher. I think I'm going to go down here and buy a book at the bookstore and I'm going to read old Mr. So-and-so's way of child rearing over here. Yeah, somebody you don't even know. Why don't you just stick with the Bible, all right? God understands your children. He understands that you got complacent kids. He understands that you got kids that are pleasers. He understands that some of your kids will be like me that are resistors. But you know what? It all works for all different temperaments. God already knows. Hey, Daddy, I'm just saying, is it in you? Do you have the character to lead and apply Bible-based methods of child rearing? Well, preacher, I just leave that to my wife. I'm just going to leave that to her and she will be the disciplinarian. That's not the way it's designed, folks. Father, you're the leader. You're the leader. And you know what those kids need to know? They need to know that when you are absent from home at work or you're traveling, that you know what? You have commissioned mama to stand in your place. And that way, they know, okay, well, mama's standing in daddy's place. So that means if daddy did, oh my. That means mama. And you know what you need to do to mamas? You need to say, that's right, because our Bible-based way of discipline, I'm going to enforce it on behalf of the father. Amen. I'll just amen myself. We'll move on, all right? I'm just asking you, is it in you, daddies? Listen, do you have the character to lead? Listen to me now. Number two, do you have the integrity to stay? I said, do you have the character to lead, but do you have the integrity to stay? I'm not going to have anybody raise their hands, but because if I did, everybody would be shocked that, you know what, there's a lot of daddies in here that's crossed your mind at one time or another to leave. Amen. You can amen inside. You don't have to amen out loud. You can amen inside. Some of you, listen to me, some of you thought about it just recently. You thought, man, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of all the drama. I'm tired of the kids always having to do this and do that. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of that. The pressures of the job. And you know, some of you think about checking out on your wife and children. I just want to ask you, is it in you to stay when the pressures are mounting? Can I say something to you that, you know what? The wisest man in the world got to the end of his life and didn't even have the integrity to stay put. The Bible said he married many strange women. And Solomon, those strange women, what did they do? They drew his heart away from God to their gods. Solomon didn't even have the integrity to stay put. But you know, there was a man named Jonathan that did. You see, I'm just asking you, do you have the integrity to stay when the pressure mounts? When the kids do wrong? When the attacks of Satan come? Are you going to stay? Or are you going to run? Are you going to stay put? Or are you going to take off? See, the thing about it is, gentlemen, and I want you to look right here. The thing about it is, you say, preacher, where do I get the integrity? Where do I get the integrity to stay put and anchor down in my home? Right there. You say, but preacher, I know some Christians, they ran. I know, and so do I. But that don't have to be you. It doesn't have to be you. You see, I'm just asking you, do you have the character to lead? Number two, do you have the integrity to stay when all of the circumstances look like they're going south? Will you stay faithful, listen to me, to your children's mother? Amen, preacher. Are you going to stay faithful to mama? Are the kids going to slip up behind you while you're on the internet somewhere and see you looking at dirty pictures? See, it gets real quiet around here because you know what? Obviously, I'm hitting a nerve here. All right, so we're going to just park right here for just a minute. All right, because when it gets real quiet, that's normally I'm on to something here. All right, I'm telling you, listen to me. There are kids that I have talked to that are adults right now that, listen, the thing that devastated them most, listen, their daddy may not have been out somewhere walking the streets, but they saw him looking at dirty magazines and dirty stuff on the computer and watching dirty movies, and that's just as bad. You know what that kid comes to the conclusion? My daddy's unfaithful to my mama. Because you know where it starts? It starts right here. I'm just saying, do you have the integrity, fathers, to stay faithful to mama? Do you have the integrity to stay clean physically and spiritually? Do you have the integrity to stay and honor your vows for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer? Hey, folks, listen. I'll be married 32 years here in just a little while, about a month or so down the road. I'm just kind of guy that, you know what, when I say something, I'm going to do it. When I made vows to my wife 32 years ago, I meant what I said. Why? I wasn't even saved when I made those vows, but I meant what I said. You said, preacher, there have been hard times. Are you kidding? Yeah. We live in a depraved world, in a sin-sick world. Yes, there's been hard times. Yes, there's been difficult times. I'm just asking you, daddies, is it in you to stay? Is it in you to lead? Number three. I said, do you have the character to lead? Do you have the integrity to stay? Number three, do you have the wisdom to choose? And I mean choose right. Do you have the wisdom to choose? You say, man, preacher, where did I get wisdom? You say, why do you keep flopping that Bible up there? Because that's where you're going to get everything I'm talking about. That's where you're going to get character. That's where you're going to get integrity. That's where you're going to get wisdom. You're going to get it from the Word of God. That's where God's book is. Listen, you said, mentioned, preacher, earlier, you said that there might be a manual that's available to teach me how to be the father I'm supposed to be. Well, there's no secular manual, but you got a Bible. That's as close to a manual as you're going to get. You see, I'm just asking you, Daddy, do you have the wisdom to choose? May I refer back to Solomon? Solomon derailed later in his life. May I say to you, fathers, that faithfulness means to the end, not to your 60, and then let everything go then. You see, David made a lot of bad choices. David lost a lot of things in his life because of those bad choices. But may I say to you, I found another father in the Bible in Joshua 24. He said, as far as me, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hey, he just told everybody else. He said, I can't control your family. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And go serve them. But leave my family alone. Because we're serving God. Hey, you know what? I've never understood why that families or fathers that don't want to serve God, why they feel they've got to go after other fathers to join them to do wrong. I think it's something that's called misery loves company. You see, I'm here to tell you today that daddies, or ask you, daddies, is it in you? Do you have wisdom to choose to serve God together as a family? To live for God before your family? Amen. A good testimony, that means the words that come out of your mouth, they need to be living words, not death words. Amen, daddy. You ever said something to your kids? Hey, listen. You say, oh, preacher, by the grace of God, I never said anything. But listen, I have heard it with my own ears. I have heard fathers tell their children things like this. You'll never amount to anything. I've heard them say something like this. You know what you are? You're a zero. And listen to me. You listen to me well. You know what that kid's going to think? That kid's going to think they'll never amount to anything. And they're a zero, because listen to me, and I want you to listen very carefully, Daddy. It's as though God had said it to them. You hear me? Because you are the authority that God put in at home, and if you believe it, as far as they're concerned, that's the same thing God believes about them. No wonder. No wonder we got kids that are off in the wayside somewhere because they've heard too many death words. Hey, Daddy, are you going to have the wisdom to choose to serve God together, to live for God before your family, to give God what's His? Give Him your life. Oh, boy, I hate to even mention this, so I'm just going to mention it and hop off of it right quick. But, you know, I found out, Daddies, you know, when the kids are little, they don't pay too much attention whether you put your tithes and offerings in, but they do when they get older. And the reason we got adults now stealing from God is because Daddy stole from God. Amen. I just thought I'd throw that. It was a commercial. Daddies, you don't listen, some of us, we do not understand the impact we have on our children. We do not understand. Do you have the wisdom, listen, daddies, to teach your children to love God and have a relationship with God? Now, again, I'll say this. You've heard me say it many times. You cannot make clear to your children what's not clear to you. You cannot teach your children to do something you are not doing yourself. You can't. And so therefore, if you have no relationship with God, then it may be the reason your children don't have a relationship with God, because they saw you. Listen, how many times have we heard Daddy say, do as I say and not as I do? You know what the kids are thinking? The kids are thinking, well, you know what? I can do as you say, but you know what? I'm also going to do as you do. Because your words, your actions speak louder than your words. I'm just asking you, Daddy, is it in you? Do you have the wisdom to choose? Will you choose family over your job? Will you choose family and your children over your hobbies? Will you choose family and children over your buddies? There's a lot of people today that don't. They've chosen their friends, their buddies, their job, their hobbies, and even money over their own flesh and blood. Won't even send money to buy them a pair of shoes. I'll just say it right now. You know what that is? That's sorry. Number four. Say, boy, I came to church. I thought we was going to get a suite. Hey, I'm just asking you. Daddy, Father, is it in you? Do you have the character to lead? Do you have the integrity to stay? Do you have the wisdom to choose? May I say to you, listen, this is important. Number four, I want to know, do you have the ability to love? You know, For some reason, in some of us men, we think to show any type of emotional love is weak. I don't know where we got that from. You didn't get it from the Bible. The man after God's own heart, David, was one of the most loving individuals that you will find in the Bible. When you go read about the relationship that he had with Jonathan, go read about the relationship that he had with others in Scripture. He was a very loving, very embracing man. You see, a child, Daddy, listen to me, a child desperately needs their father's love. You see, a mother's love is unconditional, it's been said, but a father's love is incomparable. If a child knows that daddy loves them, they can almost endure anything. Daddies, listen to me. Love your children for who they are. Do you know the Bible says that those children are a gift from God? They're one of the most valuable possessions that you have. Now, the way that some of us live, we'd think that right there is more valuable than our own children. But it's not. Because you know what that right there is? That's filthy lucre, the Bible says. It's dirty. It's good for absolutely nothing as far as eternal value is concerned. But you know what? Your child that you brought into this world is an eternal being. Love your children for who they are. Love your children, listen to me, for what they are. Psalm 127, verse number 3 says, lo, children, they're an inheritance. Children are God's. They're His possession. And may I say to you that God has only given you them, Father, on loan. Love them for who they are. Love them for what they are. They are God's. They're a heritage of the Lord. Love your children. Listen to me now. This is important because this will test you. Love them for who they are. Love them for what they are. Listen to me. Love them where they are. You say, but Mike, I didn't say your kid. I didn't say you said, but my kid's not even in church today. I didn't say that. I said, love them where they are. You see, for those of you visiting, you see our theme this year, ministering to the multitudes. May I say to you, you know what make Jesus different than anybody else in Scripture? Because He loved people where they were. He went to them. And daddies, listen to me. Yes, you may have a son. Yes, you may have a daughter that may not be honoring you like you feel that you need to be honored. But you know what? You love them where they are. You see, Father, as the leading authority in your home, you do represent the love of God to your children. If you have no loving relationship with them, it's going to be very difficult for them to have a loving relationship with the Lord. You see, be careful what you say. Be careful what you do, fathers. But you listen to me. Love your children. Is it in you to love them? Say, but yes, they're too much like their mother. Then let me ask you this. Do you love their mother? Amen. Hey, let me tell you something. Those kiddos, they know whether you love mama or not. They watch you and they listen to you. You know what they're thinking? He didn't give her nothing for Mother's Day. He didn't give her nothing for her birthday. I didn't see him say, I love you. You know what you may be teaching them? You may be teaching them one day to be like you are to their spouse. See, some of these kids, the only thing they know of what a father's supposed to be like is what they see in you, Daddy. Well, let me give you one more. I'm just asking you, Daddy, is it in you? Do you have the character to lead, the integrity to stay, the wisdom to choose, the ability to love? Now listen, here's the last thing. It's real short. Do you have the desire to change? Is there a desire to change? Are you going to change your position? See, some daddies in here today, some fathers in here today, you need to change what family you're in. You say, what does that mean, preacher? I'm talking about you need to be born again.
you're going to have a difficult time applying anything I said today without Jesus Christ. You're going to have to come this morning and be willing to change. Is it in you? Is that desire in you to change? May I say, Daddies, not only are you going to have to change your position and come to be saved, may I say to you, you're going to have to change your purpose. What is your purpose in your home? Your purpose is to lead. Your purpose is to stay. Your purpose is to be wise and make right choices. Your purpose is to love. And you know what? Your purpose is also, when it's needed, to make changes. To make some changes. I'm just asking you, Daddies, is it in you to change? Change your position. Change your purpose. Let me give you one last thing. Change your plans. You say, well, I was actually, preacher, going to go play around at golf this afternoon. That's fine. Is your son going with you? Or is he staying at home? You going to play with your buddies? Well, preacher, he just don't really know how to play golf, so what does that have to do with anything? He just wants to be around you. Can you get 18 holes in before church tonight? For most of us, it don't take long. Hey, I'm just asking you, Daddies, is it in you? Is it in you? Do you have the character to lead? The integrity to stay when the circumstances get rough? The wisdom to choose and choose God in the Bible? The ability to love? You say, preacher, it's hard for me to love because I was never loved myself. I didn't have a father in my home. It's hard for me to love. Then you know what? I'll say again, you need to go to your pastor or you need to go to another godly man and they can help you. They can help you. And I just want to know, is it in you the desire to change? Change your position. Change your purpose. Hey, you've tried it your way. Change the plans. Try it God's way. I promise you, you will find a major difference in your home. Would you bow your heads for a moment with me? No one moving about. I wonder how many can say this morning, preacher, I know. No question about it. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm saved. I've been born into the family of God. You say, that's me. I want you to slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. I'm saved. No question about it. I've been saved. I know it. No question about it. God bless you. You can put your hands down. The Father, my prayer this morning.